The other side of the coin, nurses' views and behavior on physical restraint. Semlehusian Gversen, Doc Zill University, Faculty of Medicine, Department of History of Medicine and Ethics, İzmir, Turkey. Division of Developmental Medicine, Boston Children's Hospital, Harvard Medical School, Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Correspondence, samelson@yahoo.com. Menef Samer, Department of Nursing Management, Nursing Faculty, Doc Zill University, Bakova, İzmir, Turkey. Kubra Pinar Gürkan, Department of Public Health Nursing, Faculty of Nursing, Doc Zill University, Bakova, İzmir, Turkey. Abstract, aim, to study the views and behaviors of the nurses who apply physical restraint. Research design, the study was designed as a descriptive study. The data were collected using a questionnaire form and analyzed by chi-square tests. The study was conducted at a university hospital. The convenience sample consisted of 93 voluntary nurses. Findings, the decision to initiate, terminate the physical restraint is mostly, 63.4%, made by the physician and the nurse together, and frequently, 96.8%, wrist belts are used. While one-third of the nurses, 33.4%, apply the restraint for more than 7 days, 21.4% never loosen the physical restraint. 28% of the nurses face resistance due to the restraint. 78.5% of the nurses obtain informed consent for the restraint, whereas 51.6% believe that the consent is not necessary. Only 9.7% of the nurses record the practice to the patient observation trip. Additionally, there is a relationship between the unit, patients they cared for daily, years in the profession and the nurses' views on restraint. P equals 0.05. Conclusion. It is necessary to improve the nurses' awareness and ethical sensitivity about physical restraint. Professional development of the nurses regarding physical restraint should be maintained continuously from the beginning of their undergraduate education. An institutional committee should be established to support decision-making and monitor the restraint processes. Keywords: behavior, informed consent, nurse, nursing practice, physical restraint, professional ethics. Introduction. Physical restraint, PR, is to restrict a person's freedom of movement by using devices such as belts, wrist, ankle, bilateral bid rails, limb, trunk, chairs, hangers J.P., Meyer G., Gopk S., Lindenman R., Groven R., and Hosing R. Attitudes of Dutch, German and Swiss nursing staff towards physical restraint use in nursing home residents. A cross-sectional study, 2009. PR is applied to prevent the patients from damaging themselves and their environment, keep the patients under control and prevent the removal of their connections. Despite its benefit to the patient, it is an act, which limits the autonomy of the patient, that can be harmful and abusive. The use of improper PR may lead to physical, functional, and psychological damage in the patient. Shamsi H., IPMW, Chan UD, Pang WS, Guokwei, et al. A quality improvement project to improve and reduce the use of hand mitt restraints in nursing home residents, 2016. Although it is a controversial issue in terms of ethical principles such as respect for the individual, autonomy, malfeasance, beneficence, and it is recommended as a last resort in practice, PR is widely used. While worldwide prevalence of PR varies between 7 to 75% in Turkey, particularly in intensive care services, this percentage increases up to 90% in 912.6. Despite the standards of PR determined by the guidelines, studies show that health professionals have insufficient knowledge and practice about many subjects such as the adverse effects, risk factors, and alternative methods of PR. Patient well-being is greatly influenced by ethical decisions made by well-trained health personnel with ethical sensitivity. In particular, the nurses have key roles in the healthcare team as the decision-making process of PR implementation, follow-up, and informing the physician about termination, LICKY, nurses using physical restraints, inverted question mark, are the accused also the victims? A study using focus group interviews, 2007. Nurses usually find PR an easy option, especially when human resources are inadequate. It was determined that nurses use PR to increase patient treatment compliance, or, and a method of discipline and even punishment. It is a remarkable emphasis that PR is often seen as the easiest option but rarely applied in ethical standards. Springer G1 and how to use restraint. Learn about possible indications for restraint, types of restraints, and how to monitor patients in restraint, 2015. The decision of using PR is difficult and stressful for the nurses, since this requires an evaluation of complex components such as patient preferences, medical indications, quality of life, and other factors, religion, culture, law, etc. An error or incorrect assessment of the decision-making process leads to inappropriate use of PR and ends up with adverse events. Improper PR practice poses a significant threat to human rights, patient honor, patient autonomy, and patient well-being. For this reason, it is an important ethical issue that can lead to legal sanctions, Gallagher ethical issues, and patient restraint. Nursing Times, 2011. The understanding of how PR practices are done clinically, and how evidence and skills are reflected in the clinic, is vital for preventing inappropriate PR practices, ensuring patient benefits, cooperating with patients and his relatives, protecting patient rights, and prevent from abusing patient autonomy on the side adverse reactions. The correct understanding of the nurse's practice, attitude, knowledge, and skills will allow proper improvement activities plan and the creation of effective strategies. PR practice should be more thoroughly studied, since it is commonly used in our country despite the fact that it carries the risk of harming the patient, and should be applied with great care, and despite the insufficient legal regulations, lack of supervision regarding its use, its exclusion from the undergraduate curriculum, and ignored ethical problems related with the practice. Aims and objectives. The aim of this study is to analyze the views and behaviors of the nurses who work in a university hospital and apply PR. Secondary aim of the study is to investigate the relationship between the socio-demographic traits, age, marital status, education, working unit, years in the profession, patients they cared for daily, of the nurses and their views on the PR. Research design. Sample and data collection. The study, which was planned as a descriptive study, was conducted in the internal medicine, surgery, and intensive care units of a university hospital, Izmir, Turkey. Of non-probability sampling methods, convenience sampling was used, of the nurses who worked in the relevant units and applied PR before. 93 volunteer nurses constituted the study group. Instruments. Sociodemographic traits form includes nurses' sex, age, marital status, education, working unit, years in the profession, patients they cared for daily. Questionnaire form, it consists of a total of 26 questions to evaluate the views, 12 questions, and behaviors, 14 questions, of the nurses toward PR. Ethical considerations. Written permissions were obtained from the Non-Invasive Research Ethics Board. Decision date, September 18, 2015. Protocol code, 2193 Goa, number 2015122-06, and the hospital. In addition, verbal consent of the participants was obtained. Data analyzes. Using the descriptive statistics, a preliminary analysis was performed on the data provided. The results were expressed as number of observations, N, mean plus minus standard deviation, X plus minus SD, percentages, percent. In order to determine the relationships between categorical variables, chi-square tests were performed. Categorical variables were statistically evaluated by Pearson X to test for one-way and two-way tables. In some cells of the contingency tables, the frequency was small and the expected frequency was less than 5. Thus, chi-square test with Monte Carlo simulation method and Fisher's exact test were used for these tables. These methods provide a means to obtain accurate results when the data fail to meet any of the underlying assumptions necessary for reliable results using the standard asymptotic method. Data analyses are performed using the statistical package for the social sciences, version 19.0, IBM Corp., 2010. A p-value of equals 0.05 was considered statistically significant, and a p-value of equals 0.01 was considered highly statistically significant. In sociodemographic terms, 96.0% of the nurses were female, and the mean age was 34.08 plus minus 6.67. 55.9% of the nurses were married, 77.4% had undergraduate degrees, 39.8% were working in surgery, 29% in internal medicine, and 31.2% in the intensive care unit. While 53.8% of nurses have more than 10 years of professional experience, 30.1% they cared for 1-5 patients daily, Table 1. Table 1, Sociodemographic Traits of Nurses. Characteristics. Marital status. Married, 52 and 55.9%. Single, 41 and 44.1%. Education. Associate degree or lesser than associate degree, 3 and 3.2%. Undergraduate, 72 and 77.4%. PhD, 18 and 19.4%. Working unit. Internal medicine, 27 and 29%. Surgery, 37 and 39.8%. Intensive care, 29 and 31.2%. Years in the profession. Less than 10 years, 43 and 46.2%. More than 10 years, 50 and 53.8%. Patients they took care of daily. 1-5 patients, 28 and 30.1%. 6-10 patients, 22 and 23.7%. 11-15 patients, 23 and 24.7%. More than 16 patients, 20 and 21.5%. Findings. Physicians and nurses, 63.4%, mostly made the decision to initiate, terminate PR together. Nurses generally participate in 3 out of every 4 PR decisions, 74.1%. While 1/3 of the nurses, 33.4%, applied the PR for more than 7 days, 21.4% never loosened the PR. While the most commonly used type of PR was wrist belt, 96.8%, the most common cause of applying PR was to prevent the patient from removing the connections, 93.5%. The most frequently observed complications were increased agitation, 72%, and alteration of skin integrity, 55.9%. The rate of nurses who experienced a situation in which the patient was harmed due to not using PR was 71%. 15.1% of the nurses stated that they would continue to apply PR even after the risk is eliminated. 28% of the nurses faced resistance from patients/relatives due to PR. The most important causes of the resistance were believing that the patient is in pain, 59.1%. Not believing in the necessity of the practice, 44.1%. Perceiving PR as an inhumane degrading practice, 34.4%. And being uninformed about the practice, 20.4%. Although 78.5% of the nurses obtained informed consent for PR, 51.6% did not believe that informed consent is necessary. Only 9.7% of the nurses stated that it is necessary to record the practice to the patient observation chart, whereas 91.4% state that it is necessary to record the practice to the patient observation chart. 92.5% of the nurses think that PR is applied for the benefit of the patient. 69.9% think that it should be removed as soon as possible, and 64.5% think that it facilitates care and treatment. 23.7% of the nurses think that PR is a routine practice. 51.6% think that PR can be performed even in the lack of informed consent. In addition, 51.6% of the nurses think that it can be compared to handcuffing of a convict. 48.5% think that PR is hard and painful, and 26.9% think that PR is degrading. While almost half of the nurses state that they have difficulty in applying PR, more nurses have difficulty in applying PR to the child patients. 71% of the nurses believe that physical restraint monitoring and evaluation committee would be helpful in preventing ethical problems. When the relationship between the sociodemographic traits of the nurses and their views on a PR is analyzed, it is seen that nurses in the intensive care unit, 72.5%, agree more with the statement that PR can be applied even in the lack of informed consent, p < 0.05. Nurses with more than 10 years of professional experience, 80%, agree more with the statement that restraint should be removed as soon as possible more than those with less experience, 58.1%, p < 0.05. While 45% of the nurses who cared for more than 15 patients daily accept PR as a routine practice, p < 0.05, nurses who cared for less patients daily were less likely to participate, 17.8%. No significant relationship was found between other sociodemographic traits of nurses than working unit, years in profession, and the number of patients that they take care for daily and their views on PR. Discussion. Nurses' behavior toward physical restraint. Decision maker. In our study, it was found that PR is often applied upon the joint decision of the physician and nurse, and this is in agreement with the legal regulations in Turkey. There are different practices around the world regarding who makes the decision to use restraint. Evidence-based applications show that the decision maker is the physician, Bradis CM, Sanhueske. Mayan LC. Physical restraints and side rails in acute and critical care settings, 2012, whereas the Joint Commission claimed that the decision should be made by the physician or licensed independent practitioner. In Taiwan, in addition to the physician, one of the family members or a legal guardian also has to approve of the application of PR, Wang HC, Wang Lin KC. Risk factors associated with physical restraints in residential aged care facilities, a community-based epidemiological survey in Taiwan, 2014. In the study by Zhang, 2015, it was found that the decision to apply PR was made by the nurses, instead of leaving the decision of using PR on the patient to the individual responsibility of the physician or nurse alone. It can be said that making the decision via an extended partnership and consensus that includes the health professionals and the patient/relatives would increase the patient's compliance and expected benefit, and reduce complications and non-standard practices. The involvement of the patient or his, her legal representative in decision-making processes will support the protection of the patient's autonomy, by limiting the possible paternalistic attitudes of the healthcare professionals. Decision makers must consider PR as the last resort after trying other alternatives that were ineffective. Duration of application in Lucerne. Although PR is a practice which should be performed as a last resort and remove it as soon as possible, it is a striking finding that the considerably, 33.4%, nurses in our study applied PR for more than 7 days and did not regularly loosen or never loosen the application. Long-term implementation of PR or irregular intervals indicate that it is not applied attentively and in accordance with the ethical standards. The long-term implementation of PR decision can be abusive alt if it could be right at the beginning. In the study by Evans 2002, mean PR duration varied between 2.74-5 days, whereas in the study by Fugger 2015 this duration extended up to 50 days. In our study, while the professional experience of the nurses affects the view on a PR positively, the number of patients cared daily affects nurses' practices and views negatively. The tendency to terminate PR as early as possible is high among the experienced nurses. This suggests that the experienced nurses witnessed more of the PR damage and considered the practice as risky. The rate of regarding PR as a routine practice is high among the nurses with excessive workload. Increased workload can be a significant risk in terms of reducing ethical sensitivity among nurses, extending PR application period, and long-term intervals. In general, duration of the PR should be kept to a minimum and the decision of PR should be reviewed in every 24 hours at the latest. Regarding the duration of application 2 hours PR, 15 minutes loosened is recommended for the residents of the nursing home, Wang HC, Wang, Lin KC. Risk factors associated with physical restraints in residential aged care facilities, a community-based epidemiological survey in Taiwan. Journal of Advanced Nursing 2014. However, despite the recommendations, there are still uncertainties associated especially with the maximum duration of PR and loosen period. In this respect, taking into account the characteristics of patient, disease and treatment, it is necessary to determine the average duration of PR and loosen. Type of PR, in this study, in parallel with the literature, the most commonly used types of PR were wrist, ankle restraint and raise the bed rails. The choice of PR should meet the patient's requirements, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMMS. State Operations Manual Appendix A, Survey Protocol, Regulations and Interpretive Guidelines for Hospitals, 2014. Choice of PR is affected by the personal traits of the patient, agitation, aggressiveness, etc., in addition to the organizational factors such as the patient profile in the outpatient clinic, staff culture, and available human resources. The fact that most of the nurses in our study compared PR to the handcuffing of a prisoner and evaluated as difficult and painful, but they still have to implement it reveals the dilemma they experience. While the patients state that all types of PR have a negative impact on them, it was found that the patients whose bed rails were raised tried to climb over the bed rails and had the risk of suffocation. Although the conditions make PR obligatory, use of all types of PR should be reduced. Shall vs. New Zealand Human Rights Commission. Thinking outside the box? A review of seclusion and restraint practices in New Zealand. 2017. Distraction techniques, music, television, taking the patient for a walk, coloring, writing, having a family member read to or talk with the patient can be used to reduce the need for PR, distraction techniques, DT. Causes of applying PR. PR is frequently used to prevent the removal of the connections, tubes, nasogastric catheter, etc., to prevent the patient from falling, and to have control over the patient. If the nurses experience a situation in which the patient is harmed due to the lack of PR, this can be a factor which would increase the use of PR in the future. In fact, some of the nurses state that they would continue applying the PR even after the risk of harm is eliminated. However, even if PR is applied, patients can remove their connections and fall. Work overload and understaffing cause the nurses to be unable to determine the appropriate indication and act without ethical sensitivity, and apply PR to maintain the patient's safety and easily perform their duties. Zhang H., Li C., Gu Y., EY Nurses' Perceptions and Practice of Physical Restraint in China, 2015. PR can turn into a guarantee behavior in which the patient is inactivated, pacified and his, her participation is ignored. The restraint is implemented with the thought of ensuring absolute benefit to the patient and preventing him/her from being harmed. This is a very solid reason and gives the healthcare professionals a paternalistic advantage. This paternalistic attitude also sets the ground for PR to be questioned less and used more commonly. Complications. It has been shown that atony, muscle weakness, urinary, fecal incontinence, decubitus ulcers and related infections, insomnia, agitation, confusion, fear, depression, decreased self-confidence and self-respect, body image deterioration, sensory deprivation, asphyxia and asphyxia-related death can occur due to prolonged PR. Majority of the nurses in this study observe PR-related complications. When applying PR, the expected benefit should be worth taking the risk of complication. In addition, practice is to prevent any complications, loosen, continuous and regular observation, communication with patient etc., should be performed. The medical problems associated with PR may be due to the non-standard practices of healthcare professionals as well as the nature of the practice. Therefore, minimizing the implementation of PR as much as possible and improving healthcare professionals through training and follow-up will play an active role in reducing these problems. Informed consent and resistance. Informed consent is a process that protects the autonomy of the individual in medical practices. Farina Lopez E. Estevez Guerrero J. Physical restraint of patients. Historical notes relating to the 19th and 20th century. 2001. Today, obtaining informed consent is not only an ethical obligation, but also a legal compulsion. Consent should also be obtained from the patients to be applied PR or their legal representative. In case the patient is likely to lose his or her consciousness, the advance directive, which is taken when he or she is conscious, is also valid. However, it is striking that there are nurses, as also in our study, who regard PR consent unnecessary or they perform the practice without consent, without a justification like an emergency. This tendency has been found more among the intensive care nurses, similar to Zhang's study, 2015. In this study, it is significant to see that there are still nurses who apply PR without the informed consent and more than half of the nurses do not believe in the necessity of informed consent. Similar to the study by Zhang, in our study, this tendency was found to be higher in the nurses working in the intensive care unit. Complex, unconscious patients in the intensive care unit and common use of PR can cause the nurses to regard the PR as a routine procedure and have reduced ethical sensitivity toward using PR. Belief and attitude of the nurses toward informed consent are affected by factors such as training, years in profession, work environment, unit culture. In our study, although statistically insignificant, the similarity between the rates of not obtaining informed consent and facing resistance with patients or relatives is striking. The decision of the patient, relatives regarding PR is affected by the information provided to the patient. Perez Kai, Nicholas Owa, Viguria RG, et al. Physical restraint use in critical care units. Perceptions of patients and their families. 2012. Therefore, most of the factors behind the resistance, being uninformed about the practice, not believing in its necessity, can be eliminated by obtaining an informed consent. According to patient observation, it was found that even though necessary follow-ups are performed for patients who were restrained, they were not included in the records and medical documents have missing information regarding PRUs, Condilna, Adiak. Physical restraints practice in adult intensive care units in Egypt. Nursing and Health Sciences 2013. While almost all of the nurses believed in the necessity to record the PR, not recording the PR can be related to the format of the patient observation charts, which does not accommodate PR and workload. Not recording the PR can also exacerbate the negative behavior of the personnel. However, guidelines recommend that the patient's treatment plan should include initiation, termination date, hour of the restraint, complications, physician's views, observation notes, etc. Observed behavior is influenced by organizational factors such as service culture, workload and control. The fact that PR, which is an invasive application, is not usually recorded to the patient observation chart, which indicates not only the inadequacy of knowledge and ethical sensitivity of the nurses but also a structural problem in the institution. Failure in recording PR may negatively affect the regular follow-up of the practice as well as consolidate the false steps of healthcare professionals. Nurses' views toward physical restraint. Nurses think that restraint is applied for the patient's benefit and it can be performed even if informed consent is not obtained. This represents a paternalistic attitude and results in disregarding the patient autonomy. Even if it is for the benefit of the patient, except urgency, None of the interventions without informed consent can be ethically justified. Similar to the study by Zhang, 2015, in this study, it was found that nurses see the PR as a routine practice. In our study, it was concluded that with increased number of patients taken care of daily, the tendency to regard PR as a routine practice increases. This result is extremely important as it shows the negative effects of excessive workload on ethical sensitivity. Excessive workload poses a serious risk for proper implementation and follow-up of PR, leading to the extension of PR duration and neglecting regular intervals. PR is an exceptional method which should be excluded from the routine protocol. Spring RG when and how to use restraint. Learn about possible indications for restraint, types of restraints, and how to monitor patients in restraint. American Nurse Today 2015. The nurses should regard PR as the practice to pay attention to rather than a routine practice, and as it includes a kind of violence, it should be applied minimally and as a last resort. Health professionals accept that PR is very hard for the patients and worry about handling the reactions of the patient, applying the procedure correctly and dealing with physical fatigue, and carry many negative emotions such as feeling guilty, Avertem, CNNL, Mosby, UNNP. 2015. Systematic review of restraint interventions for challenging behavior among persons with intellectual disabilities, focus on experiences. In our study, nurses accepted that PR is a difficult practice both for them and the patients and should be removed as soon as possible. Particularly in nurses with more professional experience, the tendency to remove the PR as soon as possible is higher. The fact that the nurses think a committee would be useful shows that they are looking for a solution to overcome the problems they are experiencing. They want to share the risk and they think that a committee to make decisions would be nice. Conclusion and relevance to clinical practice. In conclusion, it is important to increase the knowledge, awareness and ethical sensitivity of the nurses about PR. This study can guide the educators to make a call on the sensitivity of the application starting from their undergraduate education. Professional development of the nurses regarding PR should be maintained continuously. And also, organizational arrangements should be carried out to regulate negative working conditions of the nurses and protect them from the excessive workload. In addition, establishment of a physical restraint monitoring and evaluation committee would be useful to support the nurses, manage difficult cases and prevent the violation of patient rights. This committee be composed of the health professionals other than the team providing care for the patient can monitor the FT implementation as the third eye and provide an additional institutional protection for the patient. In the committee, presence of a clinician, critical care physician, nurse, medical ethicist and if required, pediatrist, psychologist, or psychiatrist can be recommended to evaluate the indications, daily follow-ups and complications of the patients under restraint. As a principle, use of alternative methods and establishment of restraint-free environments should be the main strategy. This study might therefore contribute to attracting attention to the problem of restraint, especially in the developing countries, and reducing the use of restraint. PR should be applied after the informed consent of the patient or his, her legal representative in accordance with the principles of being the last resort, using the most appropriate method, giving intervals regularly, assessing frequently in terms of complications, and terminating as soon as possible. However, using alternative methods and arranging restraint-free environments at first should be the basic strategy. It is thought that this study will contribute to drawing attention to PR, an important ethics issue particularly in developing countries, emphasizing the importance of professional and ethical competence of the nurses in this regard and reducing the restraint as much as possible. Limitations. The study was conducted in only on university hospital with a relatively small sample size and hence this affects its generalizability. Approximately half of the nurses who had previously applied the restriction were refused to participate in the study. It should be considering that the study was taken on a voluntary basis. References. 1. Amers J.P., Meyer G., Gopk S., Lindenman R., Groven R., and Huizing R. Attitudes of Dutch, German and Swiss nursing staff towards physical restraint use in nursing home residents. A cross-sectional study. In Jane Eyre's Stud. 2009, 46-2, 248-255. 2. Einze C., Dassen T., Grittner use of physical restraints in nursing homes and hospitals and related factors. A cross-sectional study. Journal of Clinical Nursing. 2012, 2178, 1033-1040. 3. Berzlinovich A.M., Schopfer J., EW deaths due to physical restraint. Duchesarsdoblat International 2012, 193, 27. 4. Shamsi H., IPMW, Chan U.D., Pang W.S., Guokwei, et al. A quality improvement project to improve and reduce the use of hand mitt restraints in nursing home residents. JAMDA 2016, 17, 270-274. 5. Gastman's C. Clinical Ethical Considerations on the Use of Physical Restraint. In Hughes R. Ed. Rights, Risks and Restraint-Free Care of Older People. London, Jessica Kingsley Publishers, 2010. 106-119. 6. Wang H.C., Wang, Lin K.C. Risk Factors Associated with Physical Restraints in Residential Aged Care Facilities, a Community-Based Epidemiological Survey in Taiwan. Journal of Advanced Nursing 2014, 71, 130-143. 7. Registered Nurses Association of Ontario, RNO. Promoting Safety, Alternative Approaches to the Use of Restraints. Toronto. Registered Nurses Association of Ontario, February 2012. 8. National Guideline Clearinghouse. Guideline Summary, Caregiving Strategies for Older Adults with Delirium, Dementia and Depression Supplement. Available from http://www.guideline.gov/content.aspx.3-418 and search equals restrainton, 2010, X, June 2, 2015. 9. Gao J. V., Hogan Decibels. Use of physical and chemical restraints in medical teaching units. Canadian Medical Association or its licensors. CMOJ 2000, 160-3, 339-340. 10. A Council and Physical Restraint Practices Among ICU Nurses in One University Hospital in Western Turkey. Health Science Journal 2007, 1, 4. 11. Barton Goodenay, Dawkins P., Bennett J. Physical Restraint Usage at a Teaching Hospital, a Pilot Study. Clinical Nursing Research 2013, June 118. 12. Moore W.K., Theodore App, Ryan D.M. Adverse Effects Associated with Physical Restraint. The Canadian Journal of Psychiatry 2003, 48-5, 330-337. 13. Demre Nurses' Use of Physical Restraints in Four Turkish Hospitals. Journal of Nursing Scholarship 2007, 39-1, 38-45. 14. Soon LKP, Lai CKY, Wang TKS, et al. 2006. Use of Physical Restraints in Rehabilitation Settings, Staff Knowledge, Attitudes and Practices. Journal of Advanced Nursing 2006, 55-1, 20-28. 15. Gershen R. Ethical Decision Making, Application of a Problem Solving Model. Topics in Geriatric Rehabilitation 2009, 25-4, 280-291. 16. Lai CKY. Nurses Using Physical Restraints, Are the Accused Also the Victims? A Study Using Focus Group Interviews. BMC Nursing 2007, 6, 5. 17. Spring Air G1 and How to Use Restraint. Learn about possible indications for restraint, types of restraints, and how to monitor patients in restraint. American Nurse Today 2015, 10-1, 26-27. 18. Gallagher Ethical Issues and Patient Restraint. Nursing Times 2011, 107-9, 18-20. 19. IBM Corporation Released. IBM SPSS Statistics for Windows. ARM Inc., NY, IBM Corp. Version 19.0, 2010. 20. RG, August 3, 2010, say, 27,515. Regulation on the Amendment of the Nursing Regulation. Official Gazette August 3, 2010, number, 27,515, in Turkish. 21. Saglik Hizmetler Ajanım Uyarılığı, SHGM. Saglik Dikalet ve Akreditasyon der Baskınlığı, 2016, Saglik Dikalet Standartları Hastan, Version 5, Revision 01. Positive Matbaa, Ankara. General Directorate of Health Services. Department of Health Quality and Accreditation, 2016, Health Quality Standards Hospital, Version 5, Revision 01. Positive Matbaa, Ankara, in Turkish. 22. Broadus CM, San Huesque, Mayan LC. Physical Restraints and Side Rails in Acute and Critical Care Settings. In, Bolts M. Cape Zuti, Ulmer T., Zwicker D., Editors. Evidence-Based Geriatric Nursing Protocols for Best Practice. New York, NY, Springer Publishing Company, 2012, 229-145. 23. Joint Commission Standards on Restraint and Seclusion, JCSRS. Nonviolent Crisis Intervention Training Program. Available from http://www.crisisprevention.com/cpi/media/media/resources/alignments/joint commission restraint seclusion alignment2011.pdf. 2009, accessed, May 12, 2017. 24. Zhang H., Li Si, Gu Y., EY Nurses' Perceptions and Practice of Physical Restraint in China. Nursing Ethics 2015, 20-6, 650-660. 25. Evans D., Wu J., Lambert L. M. Physical Restraint in Acute and Residential Care, A Systematic Review. Adelaide, the Joanna Briggs Institute, 2002. 26. Fugger G., Gliss A., Baldinger P., et al. Psychiatric Patients' Perception of Physical Restraint. Acta Psychiatrica Scandinavica 2015, 111. 27. Ragwin B., Wolfovitz C., Gilley Use of Physical Restraints in a General Hospital, A Cross-Sectional Observational Study in March 2015, 1710, 633-638. 28. Alan J. Chief Psychiatrist Policy Physical Restraint Mental Health Act, 2016. Available from https://www.health.qld.gov.o/underscore/data/assets/pdf/underscore file/0076-5174/cpp-physical-restraint.pdf. 29. Hoffman H., Skroe, Astert B., Meyer G. Use of Physical Restraints in Nursing Homes, A Multicenter Cross-Sectional Study. BMC Geriatrics 2015, 15, 129. 30. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMMS. State Operations Manual Appendix A, Survey Protocol, Regulations and Interpretive Guidelines for Hospitals, 2014. Revision Protocol. Available from http://cms.gov/manuals/downloads/som107app_a_hospitals.pdf. 31. OC, Jacobson F.F., Mackey T. Do organizational constraints explain the use of restraint? A comparative ethnographic study from 3 nursing homes in Norway. Journal of Clinical Nursing 2016, 26, 1906-1916. 32. Rose C. Choosing the Right Restraint. Available from https://www.americanursetoday.com/choosing-restraints/. 33. Averham, Sinan L., Mosby, Unna P. 2015. Systematic Review of Restraint Interventions for Challenging Behavior Among Persons with Intellectual Disabilities, Focus on Experiences. Journal of Applied Research in Intellectual Disabilities 2015, 28, 6180. 34. Shall Avest New Zealand Human Rights Commission. Thinking Outside the Box? A Review of Seclusion and Restraint Practices in New Zealand. 2017. 2560. 35. Distraction Techniques, DT. Available from https://americanursetoday.com/wp-content/upload/2015/01/rose-online-sidebars.pdf, XS 2015. 36. Potter Pa, Perry A. G. Fundamentals of Nursing Concepts, Process and Practice. 6th edition. St. Louis, The C.V. Mosby Company, 2005. 650-665. 37. Ezra I. Agverdi Iglu G. Physical Tespit of Iulamaya Kararverm. Kumaria Nursing Journal 2006, 10-1, 37-42. 38. In Z. Remch L. R. YVA, Holroyd-Lick J. M. A Controlled Quality Improvement Trial to Reduce the Use of Physical Restraints in Older Hospitalized Adults. Journal of the American Geriatric Society 2014, 62-3, 541-545. 39. Evans D., Wood J., Lambert L. Patient Injury and Physical Restraint Devices, A Systematic Review. Journal of Advanced Nursing 2003, 41-3, 274-282. 40. Tolman D. F. Mayan L.C., Fletcher K., Foreman M.D. Delirium. In, Boltz M., Cape Zutee, Ulmer T., Zwicker D., Editors. Evidence-Based Geriatric Nursing Protocols for Best Practice. New York, N.Y., Springer Publishing Company, 2012, 186,199. 41. Farina Lopez E., Estevez Guerra G.J. Physical Restraint of Patients, Historical Notes Relating to the 19th and 20th Century. Revista de Infermería, Barcelona, Spain. 2001, 34-3, 20-29. 42. Beecham T. L., Childress J. F. Principles of Biomedical Ethics, 5th ed. N.Y., Oxford University Press, 2001. 43. Arda B. 2011. Informed Consent. 3rd ed. Ankara, Ankara University Press. 44. Woosing R., Hamers J. P. H., Galpers M. J., Berger M. P. A Cluster Randomized Trial of an Educational Intervention to Reduce the Use of Physical Restraints with Psychogeriatric Nursing Home Residents. Journal of the American Geriatric Society 2009. 57, 1139-1148. 45. Perez-Carai, Nicholas Owa, Viguria R.G., et al. Physical Restraint Use in Critical Care Units. Perceptions of Patients and Their Families. Infirm Intensiva 2012, 23-2, 77-86. 46. Condilna, Adiak. Physical Restraints Practice in Adult Intensive Care Units in Egypt. Nursing and Health Sciences 2013, 15, 79-85. 47. Chung P.P.Y., Yale BMC. Patient Autonomy and Physical Restraint. Journal of Clinical Nursing 2004, 14-3-8, 34-40. Acta Biothica 2018, 24, 2, 253-264. 253.